Hello, this is Sally Cronin with another story from Tales from the Irish Garden. Last time I shared the menu and preparations for the royal banquet, the first to be held in the new palace in the Emerald Island. This week, the arrival of the royal visitors. The Queen's Guard, consisting of 20 highly trained and athletic young fairies, were sent off in full ceremonial uniform to await the advanced troops of the visiting royal party at the invisible gate at the far end of the magic garden. For strangers, passing by from the human realm, it would appear as though a thick, overgrown bramble hedge surrounded a broken-down cottage. Little did they know that with a few incantations, a gap would appear in the greenery comprising a golden gate strewn with garlands of daisies. Beneath the gates, a path would appear that led directly to the magnolia tree by the storyteller's cottage, and on this auspicious occasion, it was covered with red and pink rose petals. The Queen's Guard stood to attention as they heard the sound of calls and shouts on the wind as the advance party alerted them to their imminent arrival. With a flash of sunlight, the royal party materialized at the entry of the gate and the two senior officers advanced towards each other. With a nod to the colonel in charge of the Queen's Guard, the visiting troops led the way through the Golden Gate, followed by two ornate gilded carriages and several travelling coaches packed with courtiers and belongings. As the heavy horse-drawn vehicles crossed the rose petals, a heady scent rose into the air and a rosy aura enveloped the length of the parade. As the soldiers reached the end of the path, they split to form a guard of honour, and footmen moved forward to open the doors of the lead carriages. At the end of the red carpet, Queen Filigree and her daughters awaited in a fusion of turquoise, rose and emerald, waiting to greet their esteemed visitors. The first to alight from the lead carriage was Prince Ronan, who was looking very dashing, in a black velvet jacket and red and green tartan trousers. He stood tall and handsome, and with a smile and bow to Queen Filigree, he turned and helped his mother, Queen Seren, as she stepped down onto the carpet. King Patrick joined his wife and son, and together they advanced to stand before their hostess. After much bowing and kissing of hands, the royal party entered the palace and adjourned to the throne room to partake of some amber nectar and honey cakes. Courtiers gathered in groups and exchanged information and palace gossip until, with a clap of her hands, Queen Filigree bade her chamberlain escort their guests to their luxurious apartments. As they were ushered away to bathe and change for the banquet, Prince Ronan turned and headed back towards the Queen and her daughters. It was clear that the two younger women were both hoping that he would approach them personally, but it was quite evident that he only had eyes for one of the regal beauties. Disappointed, the two princesses moved away to complete their preparations for the evening's entertainment, casting glances at the courtiers and military attachés that were still enjoying their refreshments. There was no doubt that those who served in the court of King Patrick and his queen were all very handsome, and they looked at each other in delight at the possible opportunities that this might offer them. Their mother was oblivious to their machinations and was instead attempting to keep her regal dignity while standing so close to this tall and spectacular-looking young prince. "Your Majesty," a fragrance of warm sandalwood almost made her swoon, "I wondered if I might be so bold as to request the first dance with you tonight, and the last." It was as if she was mesmerized by the deep and velvet voice in her ear. Before she could call upon her indignation at his effrontery, she found herself nodding her head and whispering back, "I would be very honoured, Prince Ronan." With a wink, the object of her fascination turned away and walked towards the door. Feeling very faint and much the concern of her ladies-in-waiting, Queen Filigree sat on her throne with a thump and called for a glass of warm mead. 2 hours later, the great hall came alive as hundreds gathered for the banquet prepared by Chef Marcel and Summer in the kitchens deep in the roots of the Magnolia Palace. Queen Filigree sat between King Patrick and Queen Seren, discovering long-lost family connections and catching up on gossip from the fairy kingdoms. She was amazed to discover that Prince Ronan knew her son, Prince Zachary, and had foraged quail eggs together. Without trying to look too conspicuous, she peeked around King Patrick to where her daughter sat either side of the man in question. No wonder he seemed to know so much about her when they had first met, and she wondered how much Zachary had told him of her previous marriages and her current loveless situation. She blushed to think that he had been party to some of her most personal secrets, but at the same time found herself imagining what it would be like to be swept up into his arms for the first dance after the banquet. The feast went on for 2 hours, and as the amber nectar and wine was consumed, the noise level in the chamber rose to a crescendo of glass-shattering proportions. A little bit light-headed from a touch too much of the storyteller's red wine, Queen Filigree rose and tapped her glass for the attention of the revellers. Slowly, the voices quietened, and the two courts gave the queen their undivided attention. "It gives me great pleasure to welcome King Patrick, Queen Serene, and Prince Ronan to our court." She paused and ignored the desire to turn and look at her handsome guest just 3 seats away. "It is with great pleasure that I invite you to retire to the anteroom for rosehip tea and almond pastries, whilst the banquet tables are moved to allow for the dancing to commence." This was greeted by a roar of approval and much pounding on the tables before the guests rose and made their way through the large, ornate doors. The royal party descended from the dais and followed the courtiers, with Prince Ronan taking the hand of Queen Filigree and escorting her across the floor. A glance and smile between King Patrick and his queen showed their approval of this development, and they graciously drew the two princesses to their side to walk with them in warm companionship. The storyteller had insisted that his own musicians, the O'Brien brothers, would provide the music for the dancing, and the queen was considerably heartened to see that they'd been attired by the dapper man for the occasion. They were clearly fortified by some amber nectar and exuded a rosy glow which he hoped would not impinge upon their ability to play. She noticed that they were also joined by two fairies from her court who were delightful fiddle players, and somewhat reassured, she signalled to the storyteller that they might begin to play. It was protocol that she should begin the dancing with a senior member of the court, but as her chamberlain stepped forward with a bow and an outstretched hand, she motioned him away. The light from the candles was suddenly diminished as the tall form of Prince Ronan approached down the centre of the dance floor. The queen could barely contain the trembling of her knees as he bowed low to the floor with one leg elegantly stretched out before him. His hand rose gently to enfold hers, and with a deep sigh, she surrendered. The queen and prince did not leave the floor until daybreak, enjoying the first and last dance and everyone in between. As the first rays of the sun filtered into the palace, they bade each other good night and retired to their chambers in the knowledge that their story had only just begun. Thank you for joining me for this story from Tales from the Irish Garden, and I hope you tune in again next time.